Father, again, it's a privilege to be together as family with you, to just to be part of what you are doing in our nation and sharing with us and involving us. And we want to celebrate again the incredible life of Holy Spirit within us that empowers us, that just enables us to say, Abba, Father, and to know you. And we thank you for that. We want to thank you for what you are doing in the lives of people in this nation. We want to thank you for how Holy Spirit you are giving revelation of Jesus Christ, that we may know him, that we may behold his glory and be changed from one level of glory to another. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for how you came and you shared your life and what you have done. And today as we sit together, we ask that who you are will become so real that we will be inspired to know the reality of what it is to be your body, what it is to be family. And we want to thank you for this. And so today, anything that is in the way, anything, Lord Jesus, that is blocking us from getting revelation, anything that is sort of just being that thing that's tripping us up and all those thoughts and anything that is just not truth, today we receive the power of the Holy Spirit's ministry to set us free. We receive the angelic help to also come and help minister to us here so that we're able to just really get a revelation. But not only for us, we pray this for the body of Christ, first of all, in this nation. And this we ask and thank you through your Son, Jesus, as the Holy Spirit does this mighty work of bringing revelation to the body of Christ, first of all. Amen. Amen. Good. Okay, as we've been sharing over the last few weeks, we found there that just before, or sort of the Thursday, the Easter, the Passover weekend, we found there that God had shifted us, and there's an authority, there's a faith, there's a mandate, there's an anointing upon us to be able to now really intercede for the nation. And this is different. Before we would intercede for the nation, but this was different now because there's a higher level of authority. There's a faith that we hadn't had before. There's something different. And because now we've been anointed by our Lord Jesus to have a mandate to pray for the nation. And you feel that, you pick that up, you experience that, you start to see things differently. And so that's what we've got to walk in now as a family here. We've got to take and we've got to now begin to leave behind the way we always have done things and now step into what God wants us to do. And so praying for a nation is going to be a big part of our Sunday gatherings, and wherever we come together, you will see there'll be a lot of emphasis in understanding the reality of praying for a nation and the insights that go with that and the teaching that goes with that there, so that we can make disciples of all nations, so that we are able to help other believers to know, don't be so bogged down by ground boundness, but begin to know how to be seated with Christ and how to rule and to govern South Africa from the throne room. And it's going to help them to be able to live in hope and faith and to experience the supernatural that's beyond the natural realities of life. So these are the things that we've now stepped into as the Holy Spirit is taking us. And the reason this is so big is because back in, I think it was 2008, I don't know when Nelson Mandela was going, when Zuma was going for his second term, when God spoke about the answer for this nation is what my Son has done in his death and resurrection. And so we've had to go on a journey learning stage by stage, truth by truth, all the time, growing into this reality so that we get to a place now where we fully believe, we are fully persuaded that Jesus, you are the answer for this nation. And how do we now live in that reality? How do we administer? How do we receive and cooperate with God who said, my Son is the answer? How do we work with him in bringing about the answer through his Son, Jesus? for this nation. So we're really going to be focusing on that, and probably for quite a while, and then God will take us to the next nations and nations, etc. But right now we are learning to take South Africa into our heart and to know how to intercede. Not the prayer of God, please help, you know, maybe you're going to help, that kind of prayer. God, I want you to just sort out the government so we don't have load shedding because I want my life better. Not that kind of prayer. This is a kingdom prayer. This is to see the kingdom of God and the glory of God become so, so real here within in this nation. So that's what we've been doing for a while. This morning, we've got our first prayer assignment. And we're going to start in John chapter 17. And this is the first prayer assignment that we have received from our Lord Jesus concerning this new season that we've stepped in praying for a nation. And the first prayer assignment is not praying for the unsaved right now, it's praying for the body of Christ, for the family of God. That's our first prayer assignment that we're going to be looking at probably over a period of time, because this John 17 is pretty big and deep. Jesus, in John 17, he prays and he, let me just read from verse 1 onwards. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Now, the depth of this is huge, and you'll see now the reality, the implication, the application for us as the body of the Son who's glorified. And so he's praying, therefore you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So Jesus gives an incredible foundation of this prayer that he's going to be praying for the disciples and then for you and I, for those who will believe from the message of the disciples. But he's laying down something very important here about the glory of God, his glory, and what glory is about at this time that we need to know, and what eternal life is all about. So Jesus then prays and he says, Father, I have revealed you. So straight away we're understanding the importance of revelation. And this is the first part that we will start to find is how the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus to many, many people right now. And this is, as we heard on Thursday evening, this is the first army of the army of God, the angelic army that has been involved now to get with the Holy Spirit leading this army to bring about revelation. Okay, so Jesus is praying, and you see all the time it's revelation. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. Very important. We're not going to go much into this right now, but this is all very deep stuff. They knew with certainty, fully persuaded, that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world. This is why we're praying for the body of Christ right now. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. So we are praying. Our first assignment is praying for the body of Christ. They are Christ. They are the Father's. And so we are praying in line with what our Lord Jesus is helping us to understand, to how to pray for the family of God. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None had been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in this world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth, and your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, for they too may be truly sanctified. And then he carries on, and this is very crucial here. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe me through their message. So, just at the starting point, one thing that you and I know is that our Lord Jesus has prayed for us. He has prayed for you and I. He has prayed for all the believers. And today we are going to receive and respond to his prayer for you and I. That's a powerful reality. See, when Jesus prays, it's a done deal. It's done. So by faith today, this is the reality. That's why we're starting off with this John 17, our first prayer assignment for the nation. We are receiving and accepting, but Lord, you've prayed for us. Now we're going to walk in the reality of your answer to this prayer. So we're going to be the living answer in our time that we are here in this world. And we carry on and we see over here, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you have sent me. Now listen to this. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and I myself may be in them. Now, but just in these first verses here, first of all, you may be asking, why is our first assignment for this nation to be praying for the family of God? Why not for the unsaved right now? Why at this time, first of all, for the family? See, Jesus says over here, and he speaks here in my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So here's a prayer that Jesus is praying for this revelation of what this oneness is all about, so that South Africa, the unsaved, may see, that they may know that, Father, you have sent me. So there's something about the reality of the body of Christ in South Africa in responding and living in the reality of this prayer that our Lord Jesus has asked the Father, in order for this nation to be able to know and to have an encounter with God, and for this nation, for the people of this nation to really get born again by the Holy Spirit. He carries on and he says over here, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So all the time we see the reality over here, that the world may know. So this prayer that Jesus is praying, and we are responding to that prayer, we are praying for the body of Christ, so that the nation South Africa will know, they will know that the Father has sent His Son Jesus Christ. They will know, because we are the body of Christ, they will know that the Father, as the Father sent His Son Jesus into the world, so has Jesus sent us in the world. They will know that the Father and the Son has sent us as His body into this world. They will know. They will know the difference. They will recognize the reality of Christ in us. They will see the difference. They will experience the manifestation of the incredible presence of God, the reality of His rule and the reality of His glory in the body of Christ. And then we see there, when remember in John 34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So once again we see here Jesus is speaking about something in his prayer that, let me go to the last scripture again. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So here we see something about, as we pray for us as this family, as the children of God, for a revelation, for an understanding, for living in the reality of this love that Jesus is speaking about, we will then know that all will know that we are His disciples. We are the light, we are the salt. And as Jesus has been sharing with us over the past couple of weeks, what it is to be children of light. Light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Therefore, find out what pleases the Lord as we live as children of light. So now we're praying for the body of Christ in this nation so that we, who we are as children of light, we will live in the reality of what it is to be children of light. So a nation will be able to see and know that this is light. This is the body. This is Jesus. When God showed concerning the mountain, and He showed us, for instance, with the 1947 and the glory of God. See, we are light. The glory of God that's within us and who we are as children of light. All the everybody else on lower mountains in the darkness, they could see the light. So they knew, they could know, they had the evidence that there's light over there. They were drawn to the light. We're praying for the family of Christ Jesus, the body of Christ in South Africa, so that the light is shining. So the folk in darkness will be able to see this is the way. Let's go to our Lord Jesus. Let's go to this God that has sent this church into this nation, and let's go and find out who this God really is, so they can teach us how to walk in the ways of God. So it's a big responsibility in a sense for you and I to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and to walk and to live in the reality of what it is to be a child of light and to be shining. So here Jesus, now go back to verse 1 in John 17. Just for those that have just come in there, we know that we've moved into a higher level of authority. Is a mandate for us to pray for the nation of South Africa. Before it was pray, but now there's authority. We've been mandated by our Lord Jesus. Now I've given you the anointing, I've equipped you, you've got all of heaven's backing, you've got everything that you need to pray for South Africa, for South Africa to be able to come into what the Father has destined for this nation. Okay, so that's what we are busy praying for. And our first prayer assignment is this John 17, where Jesus is praying for the believers. He's praying for those who will become believers and for the current believers at that time. So we are praying for the children of God right now. And that's our thing there, so that the world will know that the Father has sent His Son Jesus. Now, here in John 17, verse 1, after this, After Jesus said this, He looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, so that Your Son may glorify You. Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, so that Your Son may glorify You. Jesus speaking to His disciples in John 14. And again, it's in the context of revealing the Father. Jesus says to the disciples, I tell you the truth in verse 12. Anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things. And He's speaking about, as we read this last week, He's speaking about now His resurrection and then His ascension, where He will be glorified. Okay? I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in My name. Father, glorify Me so that I may glorify You. In His resurrection and His ascension, in the reality of His, when He's been glorified over there, given the glory that He had before, etc., the name above every other name. And then He says here, ask what and then He says about us as His family, who He's prayed for. I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in My name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You see the connection. Jesus is praying, Father, glorify Me so that I can bring You glory. I need to be raised from the dead. I need to ascend back to You. I need You to glorify Me so that now what I taught My disciples, whatever they ask in My name, I will do it so that now I, Your glorified Son, can bring glory to You here on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the glory of Jesus is vital for you and I to be able to understand. The glory of Jesus has a purpose, and that is to bring the glory of our Father here on earth. So it's vital for you and I to begin to understand, how does this glory of our Lord Jesus affect us as His family here? And so Jesus begins to help us understand. And He says over here, Father, the time has come, glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You, for You granted Him authority over all people. We're not going into that. There's still much insight that I still need to get into this. This is also quite something. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him. And you'll see this will play a big role in understanding that authority of Jesus, that the Father has given His Son authority. Why did He have to have authority to give us life? See, that's a good question to ask in the meantime. And so we know there that as we are praying, that there was, or we know that Jesus, the Father had given Jesus the authority to give you and I eternal life. Why did He need authority? Because there was another ruling reality of sin and death that was very, very real in our lives. Now in Christ Jesus, the Father, because of what Christ has done, the Father has given His Son an authority, so that when we are evangelizing, you have to know something very profound over here, that as we are sharing the gospel, the power of God for salvation, Jesus is giving the authority for that person to be born again. We're not alone. We're very involved. Jesus is very involved with us. We're in this together to see the Father being glorified. So our prayers has a dimension, as a huge, huge faith booster in a sense, knowing Jesus. As we pray in your name, as we come in your name, we know that the Father has exalted you. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. We know as we're praying in your name, as we pray, you will be glorifying the Father as you answer our prayers. And you'll do what we've asked so that the Father is glorified. It's a whole different attitude. It's a whole different mindset. It's a whole different reason and purpose for living. It's a whole different reality of the family of God in South Africa that could be so focused on their own pleasures, so focused on their own careers, so focused on their own things. Jesus prayed, no. The focus is my Father to be glorified as you ask me in my name. Find out as children of light what pleases God. As children of light, Ephesians 5 and 8, 9 that we've been looking at, and verse 10. So he carries on and he says, for you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life. And then he explains what this eternal life is. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, likewise that they may know the only true Son, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Okay, let's go a little deeper. What has Jesus' glory got to do with you and I as the body of Christ, as the family of God? Why is this such a big deal? Why is this so important that the Holy Spirit is guiding us into understanding Jesus' glorification has a huge impact and a relevancy for us as his family? In Ephesians, let's go to the book of Ephesians, and we read there in chapter 2, which we know very well, but let's just start off over there. Let me just read verse 1 onwards, because it's so rich. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Okay? That's who we were. That's where many of the people in our nation are. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. South Africa. Our nation. Okay. We know we were part of that, and then Jesus, who had the authority from the Father, has given us eternal life, that we may know the Father and the Son, and the Father and the Son is very real to us. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So what has the glorification of Jesus got to do with us here this morning? What has it got to do with the family of God in South Africa? Well, everything. Because we have been raised with him. We are seated with the glorious one. We are raised with him. Okay, let's take the next verse. In chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is praying for the body of Christ and concerning Jesus, who the Father had raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. Now, if the Son of God is glorified, what about his body? Is it only his head that was glorified, or he? And we are his body. We are in him. He is in us. So all of a sudden we realize, but here's something very profound, that the glorification of Jesus has a direct link to us here, because we are his body. Okay, let's carry on. So in Ephesians chapter 3, and we read here in verse 20, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the ecclesia, in the body, and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. So the reality that the Father glorified his Son Jesus has a huge impact, because now, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done. And Jesus says, I will do what you ask so that I can glorify the Father. So the Father is glorified in and through his Son Jesus, and us as the family of God, the church. See, the glorification of Jesus has a direct application to his body here on earth, you and I, so that the glory of God can be made known through us as his family. It's lots. We're just opening up a little bit here. So Jesus says to them, Jesus in his prayer in John 17, back in John 17, he says, Father, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. As children of light, find out what pleases God. We now, as the family, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord has been glorified. And as we looked, and we won't go into that right now, but the reality of Pentecost and all that it took place at Pentecost is a big deal in how Jesus has been glorified by the Father, and how the anointing of that Holy Spirit came upon us, the body of Christ. Now, Jesus said, Father, I have brought you glory on earth by completing what you have given me to do. Ephesians 2, verse 10, as we read there in verse 8, we have been raised with Christ, seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, and he has purposed us and preordained all works for us to be able to do. We his masterpiece, we his handiwork, to display him in a most magnificent way with the works he has prepared in advance for us to do. Father, today we can bring you glory on earth in the name of your Son, because whatever we do, whatever we say, we do it in his name. Father, today, as we now begin to live in a reality of what is your will, we found out what pleases you, and as we do what you've told us to do and complete the work that you've told us to do, you are being glorified. So we need to pray for the body of Christ in South Africa to get into the will of God, to live for God and not for themselves. We need to pray for the body of Christ to be able to fulfill the work that God has purposed and put into their hearts by the Holy Spirit, to be able to do those incredible works. We need the family of God to be able to have the revelation of all of this, to be able to walk in this way, so that the nation can see the glorious works of Jesus through us, that manifest as glorious works of God, this glory of God being made known in this nation. We are the light. And that's why God took us right months, years back. Guess what, guys? When did we die? We died when Christ died. When were we raised from the dead? When Christ was raised again, we raised into a new life that we may please and walk in the ways of God. Not no longer living for ourselves anymore. It's Christ in us. The life we live by faith, we live in the reality of Christ in us. and we live for His glory. That's the children of God. This is the family of God. This is the family. This is the glorified body. There's one more scripture before. One more scripture quickly, if there's so much. But let's just quickly go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 for the unfolding of this in practical way for our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is speaking about the new covenant. And he speaks there, right at the end of the chapter there, let's go verse 16. And it's speaking the difference between the new and the old covenant. And he says there in verse 16, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Wow, God, You have glorified Your Son. Now when we get the revelation and understanding, but Jesus, You have been glorified. And as we reflect and behold Your glory, guess what's taking place? We also are being transformed into His likeness from one level of glory to another. So the body of Christ, we may have been, as we saw in Ephesians 2, there caught up in darkness, held captive by the world, held captive by Satan and doing his will, etc. And then the time came when Jesus said, I have the authority and I give you eternal life. We got born again. We were taken out of darkness. We're in this kingdom of light. And now we behold the glorious Savior and His glory. And as we behold, step by step, we are being transformed. Step by step, the body of Christ is starting to live in the reality of the glory of Christ. And we're starting to walk in the reality of Christ's glory. We're starting to make His glory known, because now we are living in the reality of what it is to behold Him and to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to see the glory of God, the presence of God, the fullness of God being made known in the body. So when Paul prays for the church, and he prays, God, that they may be full to the full measure of God. That's what this glory is all about. And so we're praying this morning for the body of Christ, and we're going to be asking the Father that there will be a deep understanding in the body and a revelation by the Holy Spirit to give a revelation of Jesus. What has Your glory got to do with us here on earth? So there can be a realization, but Lord, Your glory has got everything to do with us as Your body. And that means we have a way of thinking about our life. We have a way of understanding how to live. We have a different purpose. We have a different motive. We've got a different agenda than our old way that we used to have while we still lived in darkness. We have, Father, we want to seek Your kingdom and Your righteousness. We want Your name, hallowed be Your name. In other words, Father, that Your name will be so glorified, that our lives will be living in such a way that whatever we do, whatever we say, Your name will always be so lifted high and glorified and kept holy as we live our lives. Huge. And so as we pray for South Africa, we're praying for the family of God. And you will see revival break out. We will begin to see the move of the Holy Spirit like never before in breaking through into the body of Christ, that the body of Christ lets go of the old way and realizes we are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, a new way of thinking, a new way of living. There will become a boldness in the body of Christ. There will become an activation. There will become the advancement of the kingdom of God. There will be a great manifestation of the fullness of God. And we will still look at the fullness of the Holy Spirit as we carry on in understanding what the glory of God is all about. The seven spirits of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. These things we will still have to grow into and see that more and more. But this morning, we won't go into, there's still so much more that's on my heart, but time is really going. We won't go into too much, but we need to have a look at what, when Jesus speaks about thy kingdom come, thy will be done, what that actually means for us now in this new season of the nation, praying for the nation. But that we heart believe, God willing, we can look at next week. Because the kingdom of God, he's speaking about the fullness of God to be made known here on earth as it is in heaven. And the role that this planet Earth has in the uniqueness of being just the way God thinks is beyond us. But he has chosen this planet Earth. He has chosen we who have been made in his image. He's chosen here in this planet Earth to be able to have the revelation and the experience and the reality of the fullness of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's awesome. That's awesome. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here. Jesus says, I've completed. I brought you glory on earth because I've completed the work you gave me. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. We bring glory to the Father as we begin to understand what is the kingdom of God. How do we complete this prayer of Jesus in our lifetime? So at the end of our lifetime, we can say, Jesus, I've completed your prayer that you prayed for me and my generation. It's not just about me anymore, it's but my generation, my nation, and the nations as God increases that. It's God's Spirit that's going to be putting a deep love of Jesus in our hearts for this nation. And I think some of you may have been speaking, and I think many will start to experience, it's like that switch. It's like, wow, all of a sudden you see the nation totally different than before. You see everything different. And that's because that's the new season that we've stepped into. So we have a kingdom assignment. We have a God-given purpose. Jesus' prayer is our first assignment for the nation, and we will go much into that. But right now it's just introducing the reality of his glory and his body, us, the reality. I want to just close by just praying the scripture as a decree, basically, because this is what the Holy Spirit's going to be doing. It's at John 17, 1 to 5. Father, we, as a church family, as your children, we come. We want to thank you for the privilege again, the joy of praying for a nation, to know that your glory will be revealed in this nation. We want to thank you for your divine destiny, that which you have written in your book for this nation, for every single person living in this nation. Lord, there's so much hope because it's your kingdom reality to be made known here. And we see the evidence of the realm of darkness. We see the evidence where men and women have been captured by own desires and just seeking own desires. It's very real because all the time that fruit is always death. But Father, you have called us to stand in the gap, to be able to decree your kingdom to manifest on earth as it is in heaven, your name to be glorified. So we take this first portion of your son's prayer, Lord Jesus, as you prayed this to the Father, and what a privilege and a joy that we have today to live in the reality of your prayer and to be part of the answer for this generation. But I know that it's laying foundation for future generations. So we start off, Father, first of all, by just thanking you as we just reflect back on all the fruit that has been born as men and women and children have, have walked by your Spirit, have labored for you, have loved you, and have been faithful in their calling, all that fruit that has been made known because of their abiding in your Son Jesus, and that fruit that has been has come into being, we want to thank you for that fruit. And so we just bring it to you as a thanks offering to say thank you for that incredible fruit that this nation has experienced over the past generations. But we want to thank you, Father, because of that fruit, there's the multiplication. And we are stepping into the multiplication where that fruit, that seeds that have been come from that fruit are now becoming a reality. And we want to thank you for the new growth as we move into a greater manifestation of your kingdom and your glory. So we thank you for those in the past that have labored and have walked with you and have had a love relationship with you in one way or the other. We thank you for that. So today, Father, we speak over South Africa. We speak over the body of Christ. This prayer for this to become revelation. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may be glorified, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, this is deep, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had before with you before the world began. So we just take these scriptures and we thank you, Holy Spirit, as you are the incredible living word that just takes this truth and applies it to the family of God all over. We want to thank you, Father, that today will be a day where people that will come at the end and say, but I did this in your name, I did this in your name, and your Son never knew you. Today that stops. Because the Holy Spirit, you will give them a true revelation of who the Father really is and the Son really is, so that Jesus, that eternal life, become a reality within this nation. So we thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for your ministry. In the name of Jesus, we ask this today. Amen. Amen. Good. Gang, as always, anybody would like prayer, you're welcome to stay. Family can pray for you guys.